This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, the third of this year's mini St. Albans Sustainability Festivals, or SUSFEST seasons as they're known, is next weekend, the 19th to the 22nd of September. And there are loads of eco-themed events being run by a whole host of groups throughout St. Albans district. Now, whilst the theme is travel and transport, there is a whole range of events to enjoy and to learn from. Do head to the Sustainable St. Albans website for all the details, and I'll pop the link in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. Now, there's a few events that particularly caught my eye. Now, one of them is a Bokashi composting workshop that's being held at the Greenhouse Eco Hub on London Road in St. Albans. I think it'd be great to know how to quickly make that brilliant microbe-rich compost from waste food right here at home. Then there's the screening of Together We Cycle. That's at the Odyssey Cinema, which tells the story of how the Dutch became a cycling nation. Now, perhaps like me, you'd assumed that the Dutch had always been a cycling nation. They'd always loved their cycling. But it turns out that back in the 70s, they were set to be as car dependent as the rest of us. So I'll be absolutely fascinated to see how key players managed to help the Dutch people reimagine their world and steer their country to become a place where children cycle safely and happily to school with their friends, where cycling to work is the way everybody goes, and people cycling with a week's worth of shopping bulging out of their panniers is really quite normal. Absolutely fascinating. That's at the Odyssey Cinema on Monday evening. And finally, there's the big event of the weekend, the Sustainability Market in Harpenden on Sunday. Now, expect a range of eco providers and sustainable food stalls. There's interiors, fashion, repair and reuse, a whole bunch more. And go along to shop, obviously, but also go along to have a chat with the vendors and traders and also community organisations that are there. It's great. A way of getting some inspiration and perhaps think about different ways of shopping and finding the things that you need. Now, with the SUSFEST seasons weekend comes the hunt for St. Albans District's Eco Heroes to be recognised with the latest round of Ember Eco Awards. The awards are awarded by Lee Woods, the owner of Ember Designs, and they are in the fourth year and have already recognised some really very deserving people. Now, Lee can't hunt out all these brilliant people by himself. He needs us to help find them. So let's hear from Lee to find out more about the awards, who he's looking for, and how we can help him. Lee, welcome to Environment Matters. Great to have you here. Now, the hunt has started to recognise the next batch of eco heroes, but you've already been able to recognise some wonderful people with your awards. Do you want to just tell us some that spring to mind to give us a bit of inspiration?
I think the last one that we awarded back in early summer, Anna Barrett, who is the eco champion at the church, she was absolutely fantastic, and I have to say that the stories of her that have come out subsequently and what she's done really have been inspirational, to say the very, very least. Another that springs to mind, the Eco Council, the children at Skyswood School, they've done fantastic work building a new pond, creating lots of different habitats very much on their doorstep, and they've really embraced the green eco movement. So that's been fascinating to see them build that.
Fantastic. I mean, we were lucky enough to hear Anna here on Environment Matters. I thought she was wonderful.
Yes.
And so many great things she'd done that I hadn't even realised. You know, I tried to keep my ear to the ground, but lovely
to have her recognised for everything that she's doing. And I imagine the children at Scarswood, they must have loved being recognised for the great work that they've been doing around their school as well. Now, this year is particularly special for the Ember Eco Awards. Why is that?
So this is the fourth year now. We had a year off a couple of years ago when I was involved with the SustFest Expo. I think that was just too much of a work to sort of get that off and running as well. But this, I've seen this grow over the course of 4 years. And when I've been involved in local green campaigns and local initiatives, I've seen firsthand the amazing projects that have sprung up. And I think the thing for me, Amanda, is that in this day and age, sadly, people are very quick to critique and condemn, and nowhere really near as quick to sort of champion and congratulate. And I think the Ember Eco Awards, they do that. And we've seen the nominations grow year upon year. So I think this year in particular, and the variety of the people who have been nominated has been amazing. So it's a real year for progression, and to really just say to those people, thank you so much for everything you do in the community.
Yes, indeed. So many eco heroes are unsung, aren't they? They're quietly getting on with something that they believe to be the right thing to do and not looking for recognition. But it must be lovely for you to be able to actually show that somebody has really noticed what they're doing.
Absolutely. These people who get involved in these projects, they don't give to receive. But I think it's very important on the flip side of that to make sure that they are aware of just the importance of their work. And the Ember Eco Award, it sort of goes some way, doesn't it, in just to sort of say thank you and congratulations on all your endeavours.
Wonderful. Well, I think it's a great thing. So let's talk about the awards that we're going into now. You need us to be your eyes and ears on the ground, hunting out these unsung eco heroes. So can you just give us some pointers? Are we looking for individuals, or are we looking for groups, companies? Is it all of those, I suppose?
That is the beauty. It is open to everybody. It can be literally your neighbour who is organising a local litter pick. It can be someone in your school who's sort of really galvanising their friends and family to sort of do green-minded things. It can be big businesses who have revolutionised the way they go about their daily acts of sustainability. It's absolutely everyone, and that is the beauty of it. There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to the winners of these awards. I think it's just imperative that people really do sort of tap into the community and let us know all the amazing projects and initiatives that people are getting up to.
Yeah. And I was just thinking perhaps about young people like the children at Scarswood. Yeah. Actually, if you're a younger person, perhaps your sphere of influence needn't be so huge, but you can still have passion. So is that something you're looking for as well?
100%. Absolutely. I think this works from the bottom up. The school children I've seen firsthand just how passionate they are about the environment and the work they are undertaking to transform their schools, and also the mentality of others around them. Absolutely fantastic to see. So it doesn't have to be a massive act that they're carrying out. Just something small that you think is transforming the way people think or the things they do. It can only be as small as that, but it's all taken on board for when the judges come to look at those.
Okay, well, this cannot be an easy job for somebody. How do you take all those nominations and decide who the winners are going to be?
So I've taken that out of my hands. I think subjectively, I know quite a lot of people who have been nominated, and that wouldn't be fair. So I have three people who are involved in sustainability and eco-based projects. They don't know any of the candidates, so I give them a dossier and a synopsis of each project and each person, and then just on that merit alone, they decide which person is the worthy winner for this particular award.
Okay, so thinking about the information that they receive,
yep.
When we make our nomination, do you need us to put together as much information as possible to support the nomination that we're making?
Absolutely. The more descriptive of the synopsis of that person, that will go a large way to sort of making sure that they get the award, really. Yep. I think, obviously, there is that understanding that perhaps I would be doing that judging, but that isn't the case at all. It's gone to a third party set of judges, which I think is important. And then they get to see, more importantly as well, these amazing people who are nominated month after month.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds like you've got all of that sorted. It's all completely fair and, as you say, out of your hands. So how do we make our nomination then?
Well, first off, you can email in info@emberdesigns.co.uk, and that will come to me, and I just collate all the information that you send. And the information, so what we need is a synopsis of the person who you are nominating, their name, any information that you think will help sway the judges to hand that award over at the end of the autumn. And from there on in, really, it's up to the judges to come up with the winner.
Marvellous. And when do we have to make our submission by?
So we've had four awards this year, and they all correspond with each of the four Suskfest weekends. So we're coming up to the autumn one. The Suskfest weekend this year is, I believe it's the 19th to the 22nd of September. Judging will close at 6 p.m. on the 28th of September. So we've got a little bit of time left yet. So plenty of time for people to get those thinking caps on.
Yep, indeed. And for anybody who is successful, they get a really very special award. Do you want to tell us about that, Lee?
So when I first came up with the idea of these awards, I wanted to keep it local, but more importantly, sustainable. So I contacted Hartwood Glass here in the district, and they came up with, I gave them a rough idea about what I wanted, but they absolutely knocked it out of the park. It's just a glorious glass award with a sustainable wooden base. If you go on any of the socials or the Eco Facebook groups, there'll be a picture around there floating around of it. It's just magnificent. And every time I hand this out, they are absolutely astonished and how beautiful it actually is. So it is a testament to Hartwood Glass, our friends who have been supporting us since the absolute start. But also, I think it's important that people have something tangible as well just to take home rather than just the accolade of being an Ember Eco Champion.
I think anybody would be delighted to receive one, Lee. Lee, thank you so much for taking the time to come and tell us all about that today.
Thanks so much, Amanda.
I was talking there to Lee Woods of Ember Designs and coordinator of the Ember Eco Awards. And in case you need some inspiration for your nomination, I've been lucky enough to chat to a number of Eco Award winners here on Environment Matters, and you can hear them all by heading to the podcast page of mix926.com. For instance, there's Anna, who Lee mentioned, the Green Champion at St. Albans Greenwood United Reformed Church. She spoke to us about all the amazing things that she does there. There's Tricia and Duncan Gibbons, who are the absolute powerhouse behind St. Albans Greenhouse Eco Hub and all of the clubs and events that they have initiated there. And there's Nadia Bishara, founder of the Wilderhood Watch Neighbourhood Wilding Group, who's joined me here on Environment Matters to tell us about their latest projects, from pollinator highways to toad roads and from hedgehog streets to swift action. Do take a look at the podcast page. There really are some fascinating things there. Now, all of the award winners are brilliant, so let's now help Lee to find the next bunch of eco heroes for him to award. There are some wonderful people and yet unsung out there. And a reminder that you need to email your nomination and as much supporting information as you can to info@emberdesigns.co.uk. Now, before I leave you today, I have a plea. If you don't have an apple tree in your garden, there will be someone in your street or living not far away who does, and who has more apples than they know what to do with. So please do not pay your hard-earned money for plastic-wrapped, imported, pesticide-laced apples at the supermarket. Instead, take a walk around and see if someone has apples out for you to help yourself to. Or if you can't find any like that, then perhaps drop a note into your neighbourhood WhatsApp group and ask if anyone has apples looking for a home. Perhaps they'd appreciate some help picking them, which is why they'd not put them out. And I can guarantee that they'd rather give the apples to you than to see them go to waste. After all, there's only so many apples that the blackbirds can manage. And if you are lucky enough to have a garden with an apple tree and you have more apples than you can use, then please, please just take a few moments to pick some apples to offer to neighbours or to ask them if they'd like to come and pick some for themselves. Now, if you do have lots of apples and are sick of eating them raw, you've had so many apple crumbles that you developed a custard allergy and your freezer is bulging with so many stewed apples that you've had to stop buying frozen peas, then I've got a few ideas for you. Now, the first one I've got is that one of the best ways to use lots of apples is to make dried apples. Slice the apples very thinly crossways so that the core makes a pretty star in the middle. Leave the skin on, but remove some pips, stalk, and that dead flower head bit. Lay the slices singly on lined baking sheets. Sprinkle on a little cinnamon or whatever if you fancy, and then put them to dry in a cool oven for as long as it takes. Now, it's a good idea to turn the apple slices occasionally, and you may have to remove some slices before the others if they're a little bit thinner and they'll perhaps start to brown. So when the apples are done and they're nice and crisp, then let them cool on a cooling rack and store them in airtight jars. Now, they might go a little bit chewy after a while, but they're still great. They should keep for perhaps a few months at least, and they are a wonderful healthy snack. Right, my second idea for using up apples is to make some homemade apple chutney. Makes a wonderful Christmas present along with a chunk of some special cheese from your local independent cheese shop. And that's great for using up your cooking apples. And finally, I mean, lots of apple varieties do really keep very well in a cool, dry place. Just keep the perfect ones and keep taking a look at them so you can pick out any that have gone rotten. So, do you have any tips for using lots of apples? Do share. You can get in touch with me via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.